Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Thursday, March 29th, 2018 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Did you hear that loud gunshot, folks, at the beginning of that that lead-in music, the James Bond theme? Got a story to tell you about that here in just a couple minutes, but a few announcements I need to make first. Tomorrow, I want to remind everybody that I've got Michael Gaddy coming up with Daryl, my co-pilot from Alabama. I'm probably going to be just kind of leaning back on autopilot and letting these two guys go, because evidently Michael Gaddy's got a whole lot of information for us regarding the Civil War, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. Sometime this weekend, I'm looking forward to hearing from James and Joanne Moriarty. They're supposed to be back from wherever they were, I think either today or tomorrow, and they're supposed to touch base with me when they get back. And then I'm going to have them up at some point next week. And don't forget, Phil McConnell will be up Tuesday, first hour, and I'm going to have a unique discussion with him regarding the SES. And a couple of other little tidbits. But I got a text message this morning from my son telling me that my baseball game was canceled today. And so I immediately got on the phone and I called John. And I said, would you like to do this show that we were going to do tomorrow today? And he said, yes. So I'm going to be back on the air at 4 o'clock with John. And I've got a timeline here. And by the way, folks, I want to tell you, I'm not firing on 8 cylinders today, which I'll tell you why in a minute. But what I've got to report, it took me about 15 hours to put together over the last couple of days. And what I've done is I've tied together a bunch of dots on a timeline. I've actually exposed some people in the movement. And I think I've got a pretty good inclination of what's going on behind the scenes here, and I'm going to share that with you today on John's show. So I would encourage you not only to tune into that, and hopefully I'm going to grab a nap in between my show and his show, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But it should be a very, very informative show, and I will go on to say this, that everything that I have that I'm going to share with you, excuse me, I have vetted, I have documented, it's backed up, and it's all factual. Now, there will be a few things in there that are rumor, and I will tell you that they are rumor. They are a Patriot Movement rumor. However, I think you'll find it very, very enlightening, so I'm going to invite you to listen in today at 4 o'clock with John's show, and also, if you can, invite a friend. I think it would be very enlightening for them as well. Now, why am I going to try to take a nap tonight, or today, before I go on John's show? Last night, when I came home, I got home from my ball game about 6, and I went right to work on this timeline, and I worked till midnight. The night before, I worked, at least 8 hours on it. And I went to bed about midnight, and I couldn't go to sleep. And I'm beginning to wonder if it has anything to do with these radio waves that people are talking about. And I have to tell you, what's odd about this, and I'm going to share this with you just in case this has happened to anybody. I would say it was probably about 5:30 this morning. That gunshot that you heard and the lead-in music, well, exchange that with the loudest bark you've ever heard from a dog in your life. Only this bark didn't come from outside. It wasn't the bark that I heard with my ears. It's a bark that went on inside my head. And it startled. Didn't scare me, but it startled me. And I mean, folks, it was loud. So that jolted me. I got up out of bed, went in and got a glass of water. I went back and I set my alarm for 9:30. So at about 6:30 this morning, I would say, I fell asleep. And I was awakened at 8:30 by the most painful cramp that I have ever had in my left calf in my life. And I don't get cramps, folks. Very, very rarely do I ever get cramps. But it woke me up, and it was a constant cramp that was just as tight as it could be, and it went on for about 2 or 3 minutes. Excruciating pain. And it caused me to wonder if this has anything to do with these radio waves or these people that we've heard of, that have been targeted. And ironically, as I tell you about this, I get up, jump in the shower, I go get on to my email, and I've got four emails from Mer. She sent me a link to a lady by the name of Janice Barcello, who, as I read here, is a researcher, author, educator, and activist dedicated to exposing the cult of modern medicine. So I went in there to click on her clip, and evidently her YouTube accounts, just this morning evidently, because, you know, Mer had just sent me the email, her accounts have been deleted, her Google account is banned, her entire blog has also been deleted from the internet. She goes on to say she will not give up. I find this very interesting, folks, because also what I had received from Mer, and by the way, my thoughts go out with you, Mer, because she sent me an email talking about her health is starting to decline over these radio frequencies. She says that she's been become increasingly due to the frequencies. She's been hearing these frequencies for about 2 years. I guess, you know, some people are more in tune to it than others, folks, and I've heard this before. She says that the sound is annoying, especially at night, but over the last month it has become almost unbearable. The noise is so loud that she's had many nights where she's unable to sleep. And I'm wondering, and it's ironic that I would get this email from her when this just happened to me last night. She said her head is experiencing immense pressure, and many times during the day she feels nauseous and unable to think straight. Now, I find this interesting because she sent me a link to a site talking about the health effects experienced by customers when exposed to DTE and consumers' energy smart meters and opt-out meters. And the side effects are tinnitus, which, by the way, I have in my right ear, an anxious feeling in the body that is not mental but physical, physical agitation, jittery, feeling weird or wired, a vibration in the body, pressure in the head, pressure in the body, a feeling that something is shooting through your body or your head. For some, it is a sharp feeling, others it's a dull or some empty feeling, achiness around the joints, nausea, a clamping pain in the arms. I got a clamping pain in my leg this morning. Feeling like one cannot move. Now, let's see. Changes in the LTC levels. Increased heart rate, headache, blood pressure skyrocketing, heart palpitations, migraines, sensitive to electrical devices and frequencies, harder to breathe. Some of these symptoms I'm experiencing, folks. The increased heart rate, the harder to breathe. Let's see, fatigue due to lack of sleep. Yeah, I've got a little of that. Anyway, I'm just curious if any of you other people out there are experiencing any of this. Because, as I said, it was kind of coincidental, if not ironic, that I would get that email this morning. So, that said, moving on. What I'm going to do today, I've spent the last 2 days, as I said, preparing this timeline and going in and doing an immense amount of research and prep work for, you know, sharing this with John and his audience today. So what I did in the limited time that I had is I just threw together some articles that I will share with you. I'll leave the phone lines open today, 800-313-9443. Feel free to jump in the mix, folks, because, again, as I say, I'm not firing today on all eight cylinders. I'm just going to cruise through this show, get through it, take a nap, and hopefully be a little bit more focused when I go on with John today. So let's see. Let me scroll up here and start with G. Edward Griffin. Now, just last week, we know that an article came to our attention that was written by G. Edward Griffin on this James Wesley Howell guy. We already know what happened with that. I had Henry Mackow on my show. He had written an article about James Wesley Howell. I got in touch with Rudy Davis, who's the advocate for political prisoners. And I had told you at some point during this week I was going to share that video, that interview with you, if you'd like to hear it, and which, you know, people call in and say, yeah, I'd like to hear it, I'll go ahead and play it. I'll send it over to Dan, my engineer, and it's about 25 minutes long. So let me know. G. Edward Griffin puts an article out on his Need to Know News, which I found rather interesting because the title of his article was 500 DOJ Lawyers, and that 500 DOJ Lawyers is what I had brought out about this SES thing. But he points out something else, which, what is that, Bill? It's 2,300 pages or something like that. Griffin goes on, he says, the Cloud Act, which was included in last week's omnibus bill, eviscerates what may have been left of citizen privacy in America, and it makes personal information readily available to other governments. Foreign police can now wiretap communications from the United States companies without a warrant. Foreign nations can demand personal data stored in the United States. The U.S. president can make agreements to allow police in foreign nations to seize data in the United States while ignoring U.S. privacy laws. Foreign police can attain data without notifying the U.S. government, and it empowers U.S. police to grab any data from anyone, regardless of where it is stored. In other words, it empowers the United States government and foreign governments to invade the privacy of anybody it wants to stalk. The big question is, why did President Trump sign such a bill when he could have vetoed it? Well, I think part of the answer to that question is he likely didn't read it, just like the rest of them didn't read it. He didn't have time to read it. And the assertion that Hillary would have been worse is not an answer to that question. That's signed G. Edward Griffin. Now, while the nation remained fixated on gun control and Facebook's violated practices last week, the United States government quietly codified the Cloud Act, its own intrusive policies on citizens' data. And while the massive, and he's got a mistake here, he says 1.2 trillion, no, it's 1.3, Ed. While the massive 1.3 trillion omnibus spending bill passed Friday received widespread media attention, the Cloud Act, which lawmakers snuck into the end of the 2,300-page bill, was hardly addressed. And again, I'll assert, probably because nobody knew it was there. The Clarifying Lawful Overseas Use of the Data Act, or CLOUD, updates the rules for criminal investigators who want to see emails, documents, or other communications stored on the Internet, CNET reported. And now law enforcement won't be blocked from accessing someone's Outlook account. For example, just because Microsoft happens to store the user's email on servers in Ireland, it doesn't make any difference. While the nation remained fixated on that gun control, okay, and Facebook's violative practices last week, the government quietly codified the Cloud Act. Now, while the massive $1.3 trillion spending bill passed, it received widespread attention. Again, the lawmakers snuck it into a 23-page bill, and it was hardly addressed. Let's see. Give me a second here. The Cloud Act will also allow the United States to enter into agreements that allow the transfer of private data from domestic servers to investigators in other countries on a case-by-case basis. It enables foreign police to collect and wiretap people's communications from the United States companies without obtaining a U.S. warrant. It allows foreign nations to demand personal data stored in the United States without prior review by a judge. Allows the United States presidents to enter executive agreements that empower police in foreign nations to have weaker privacy laws than the United States to seize data in the United States while ignoring U.S. privacy laws. And all foreign police to collect someone's data without notifying them about it. I don't know about you, but does that give you any dis-ease, folks? It empowers the United States police to grab any data, regardless if it's a U.S. person or not, no matter where it's stored. And the bill is an update to the current MLAT, or the Mutual Legal Assistance Treaty, the current framework for sharing Internet user data between countries, which both legislators and tech companies have criticized as inefficient. Like some tech companies, Microsoft, for example, have endorsed the new cloud policy. And Brad Smith, The company's president and chief legal officer called it a strong statute and a good compromise that gives tech companies like Microsoft the ability to stand up for the privacy rights of our customers around the world. Really? Stand up for the privacy rights when they're invading our privacy and taking all of our metadata on everything we do? They echoed the sentiment of lawmakers like Orrin Hatch. And in February, he said of the bill, and I quote, "The Cloud Act bridges the divide that someone exists between law enforcement and the tech sector by giving law enforcement the tools it needs to access data throughout the world while at the same time creating the common sense framework to encourage international cooperation to resolve conflicts of law." What a bunch of gobbledygook here. But one of the biggest complaints from privacy advocates, however, is that the new legislation places too much unmitigated power in the hands of governments with abysmal human rights records, while also giving too much discretion to the United States government's executive branch, noting that the executive branch will decide which countries are human rights compliant, and that those countries will then be able to engage in data collection and wiretaps without any further restrictions or oversight. Who's the first country that comes to mind that's a foreign country, folks, in your mind? I'll tell you. To me, it's Israel, because they spy on everything. The Cloud Act will also allow the United States to enter into agreements that allow the transfer of private data from domestic servers to investigators in other countries on a case-by-case basis, further globalizing the ever-encroaching surveillance state. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, which has strongly opposed the legislation, listed several consequences of the bill, which it called far-reaching and privacy-upending. It enables foreign police to collect and wiretap people's information and communications from U.S. companies without obtaining a warrant. Now, why would they want to snoop and poop on us, folks? What other reason would they have but to find out if we are a patriot? Allow foreign nations to demand personal data stored in the United States without prior review by a judge. And allow the United States president to enter executive agreements that empower police in foreign nations to have weaker privacy laws than the United States to seize data in the United States while ignoring the U.S. privacy laws. Oh, my God. yeah, that sounds like it's really comforting to me. All right. Well, anyway, he goes on to say, and I'm not going to read it all, but in an age where the government already engages in mass surveillance and is eager to disable the people's efforts to protect their privacy through encryption technology, it is unsurprising, albeit dangerous, that Congress continues to encroach on what little is left of safeguards against unwarranted intrusion. You know, and I think about this, folks, as I scrape the cobwebs out of my brain here, it's always been, is it not human nature to be curious? Is it not human nature that if, you know, you hear gossip going on to see if you can lend an ear to hear what's going on about your neighbor next door or whatever, you know? But this is carried to the nth degree because this government seems, and foreign governments now, seem to want to know everything we do all day long, including and up to, but not limited to, even going to the bathroom, for crying out loud. A little over the top, don't you think? We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. More to come.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Extendivite, A 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
All right, folks, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun, firing on about 6 cylinders. It's unsurprising, albeit dangerous, that Congress continues to encroach on what little is left of our safeguards against unwarranted intrusions. But as I said, what do we got here? Richard in Washington. Okay, let me take a break. Richard in Washington, you're on with Michael. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
What's on your mind?
Well, I've been reading some literature. I always usually recommend books when I call in, just so other people have some access to things that I think are really significant. And the discussion you're having now is brought to bear by a book by Harari. That's his last name. Author's name is Harari. It's called Homo Deus. And what he's pointing out is we progressed from, you know, being dependent on God and then that being taken over by humanism. And now we're progressing to the point which he calls dataism. I'm sure Larkin Texas would be happy with these isms. But what he's pointing out is the fact that how do we determine what we as individuals do to make choices? And what's happening now with the computer age is it's all data on the system. And how determinations are made, even though most of them are done against our will and without our knowledge, it's done on, you know, who gets the most bang for the buck, depending on the decision. And when you figure that out, you realize that we as individuals are being totally left in the dust. And what is more important is, you know, what the blips on the screen of the computer are saying, so that people can make financial decisions. And bottom line is, the money determines whatever happens.
Well, that's a good point, and I wouldn't disagree with that, because as we continue to go through and experience this mortal coil, we see more and more, especially millennials and even generation past me, that are relying more and more. I mean, how many people you see walking through, Walmart or the grocery store that are on their cell phones? They're not even looking at you anymore. Or how many times have you experienced, Richard, you stop at a red light and the light turns green and the car in front of you stopped because they're too busy text messaging to pay any attention to the light, so, obviously it is you know, declining into that state of affairs. And if you throw into the mix artificial intelligence, which you had mentioned, leaving us behind, right? They're going into a completely different realm of technology that is ultimately, their agenda is total control, all the way up to probably including a brain chip if they get that far. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's exactly right. And who allows them to do that? We do. We want the latest technology. We aren't happy with 2G. We want 4G. We aren't happy with 4G. We want 5G, even though if you study it, you indicate it's probably the end of the human realm as we know it. In fact, all animal or actual life on the planet, because, as you pointed out earlier, we're just being bombarded by a whole bunch of radiation that we know absolutely nothing about. And we choose to be in a metropolis, usually, or you know, some crowded situation where we can have access to instant communication, and that's the positive side. The downside is, you know, maybe we'll live 10 years less, or maybe we'll get some cancer or some other disease pattern that's a development of being exposed to all this radiation. So, you know, it's a two-way street. We want it, but we just don't want the downside. Same thing with the Omnibus bill. You know, we want to have this instant information available, but we don't want, quote-unquote, our individual privacy stepped on. But how do you have both? You know, you got to look at both sides of the situation to realize that, you know, basically the human being, individual, has lost any input into the real world.
Well, you make some good points. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the program, when I got in and read these symptoms that Murr sent me this morning, and I started thinking about it, I said, wait a minute, I've got a few of those symptoms. But I have to tell you, you know, I was startled. You know, I wasn't scared, but I was startled because that bark that went on, not outside my house, but inside my head, it started getting me to think. There was a lady that I interviewed many, many years ago. Her first name was Eleanor. I don't remember her last name. But she was talking about these you know, these attacks that are made on certain people. She was one of them. I don't know whether it's ELF waves or microwaves or what kind of waves they are. But what happened to me this morning, not once but twice, first with that bark inside my head, but the second thing with that serious cramp that woke me up, it was highly unusual. And so, you know, it causes one to step back for a moment and think. You know, is this due to the amount of electronics I have in my home? Is there some outside force going on? And I don't mean to be conspiratorial. It's just a concern of mine. You know, I mean, have you heard of any of these people out there, Richard, that are being attacked by, you know, certain entities with microwaves and these other type of frequencies that are destroying their lives?
Oh, definitely. And last time I called, which was, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, I recommended Deborah Tavares. Basically, she was subject to that kind of imposition, and she documents that, and okay, her website goes into exactly what's happening. Go.
Okay, here's why I didn't bring Deborah Tavares up on my program. Tell you what, hold on till after the break, and I'll explain it to you. Okay, we got to go to a bottom out of the break, and I'll tell you why I elected not to. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right, doing the best you can. Well, it's all right, as long as you lend a hand.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Okay, Richard, are you still with me, Richard? Is Richard still there?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let me kind of give you a quick overview. Was it you that told me 3 or 4 weeks ago that she was on a fellow host on RBN, PJ Barton?
No.
Okay. Well, after you had called in, I did a little research on her, and I found that she was going to do an interview with PJ Barton, who's on, I believe he's on Sundays. Either that or Saturday. I don't know which one. Saturday night, maybe. So I went in. I took the time to listen to that entire interview. And two things. Three things. First of all, number one, John and I had a conversation regarding the issue of credibility. And now more than ever, because especially after this 15 hours worth of research I did in this timeline, it's more important than ever for RBN to make sure that they fact-check and get their facts straight, because there's a lot of disinformation out there, all right? So keep that in mind as I go forward here. I listened to this 3-hour interview with Deborah Tavares and PJ Barton, and this lady stepped all over this guy. She took over his show. He probably said in that 3 hours, and I'm not exaggerating, maybe 20 words. He tried to get in a word in edgewise at least 15 times, and she cut him off. That to me is disrespectful, because it's not her show. But the second thing is this: she made a statement during that broadcast talking about the fires in California and that they were started by some kind of a beam or something deliberately so the Rockefellers can move in and take over sections of the land. Now, I couldn't find anything out there to confirm or deny that, but it sounds a little incredible to me. And at this stage of the game, on my program at least, and John's as well, we don't want to put out anything that is questionable or that could be turn out to be fraudulent. Now, I'm not saying that she is or isn't. I'm just saying with those two things in mind, I decided not to bring her up on the air. Does that make any sense to you?
Definitely. I have the same concerns, and that's kind of why I put her name out, so that you could kind of check it out, and if you followed it up and found it somewhat worthwhile, you would pursue it. I can't do that kind of research, and basically, a lot of the stuff that she presents, the traffic hunt stuff, the Judge Royal Dale, unless I forget what his name is, but anyway, that seems somewhat to be disinformation. I can't verify that that's actual factual, and so you never know what the agenda is.
Well, and that's what becomes problematic, because as I went through this little journey the last two nights, which really literally wore me out, and you can tell today because I'm not firing 100%, I stumbled across a number of people who are putting out either it's disinformation, misinformation, or it's just ignorance. And what I'm doing is I'm making a list of these people to deem them until they, you know, can redeem themselves ineligible for a program or for a guest spot on my show, because I try my best to bring factual information, just like what happened last week when the Henry Mackow and G. Edward Griffin wrote those articles on James Wesley Howe. When I went, I dug down the rabbit hole and I found out what the real deal was, and I put it up on the air. Okay, matter of fact, Henry Mackow wrote a retraction on his website about it. So we're trying the best we can. We don't always get it right, but RBN is kind of on a trek to be the beacon of light, as it says in the commercial, amongst all these others, because many of these, including our buddy down there in Austin, is compromised. There are certain subjects that he just actually will not talk about, and I think it's because his handlers won't let him, if that makes any sense to you.
Well, that's it. You never know what the agenda is. You try to sift through the data and make your own choices, because it's the last bastion of freedom is you as an individual. You have to choose your path with as much information as you can get, because now the key ingredient is always knowledge. You know, how knowledgeable are you to wade through the information amongst all the vibrational frequencies that are bombarding us and get to a conclusion that, you know, is allowing you to move forward positively? And that's the bad thing, is with all this vibration coming in, what they've always tried to do, and I put the they, meaning the powers that have more money than they know what to do with, those powers want to control the society to their benefit, and by bringing us all into fear on a constant basis, putting us all in the sympathetic mode, as in your case, preventing us from sleeping. And I would recommend a book called Why We Sleep. It's very recent, and it's the most up-to-date information, and it's a classic. I mean, if you want to read one book in your lifetime that will really give you positive information and allow you to be successful, Why We Sleep is that book.
Okay.
And what I also recommend, and, you know, I'd be happy to come on your show anytime, is the only things we can do really are to guarantee our health, so that we're in the best frame of mind, so that we can sift through this information. And what I find, and what I found in my research, because my second career was nutrition, is that most of what happens is a result of being in the sympathetic. We've talked about this before. Being in this fear state, running on sugar, our brains are overloaded and running on false information and fumes, and then we have to make a decision. And usually that decision is go along to get along, and that's, you know, we essentially concede to what's happening around us, even though we probably should be putting our foot down and saying, there's no way I'm going along with this.
Well, I'll tell you, and I want to be clear about this, I am not asserting or accusing anybody of doing anything. The only thing I'm sharing with the audience is two very weird things happened to me last night that was highly unusual. So I'm not pointing a finger. I'm not going off the deep end conspiratorially or anything else. You know, I'm just paying a much closer attention to these symptoms that I have and why. But with that, thank you for the. I got to let you go. I got other callers on the line, Richard. But I thank you for your input. And I've got these books written down, so I will take a look at them. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All righty.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to Francis in North Carolina. Francis, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Hello, young man.
Hello.
Hey. One, I can empathize about the aspect of a cashier or whoever is at the store ringing up your items that you're wanting to check out and all that stuff, and they're playing with their toy in front of them while they're doing that and just basically having very little, if any, rapport with you as you're leaving the store or whatever have you. Because I ran into that earlier today, for that matter, and I was like, you know, wait till your break time to go and play with that crap, you know, that sort of thing, was my train of thought at the moment. However, as far as the frequency thing goes, I did send you an e-message to forward on to Murph.
On the what? Oh, okay, okay. Well, you know, it would be interesting to me, Francis, and I'll put this out to the listening audience. I would like to have someone up on the air as a guest that may have some expertise in this, just to kind of give us an overview of, you know, what to look for and so forth. Because, again, I didn't really even pay that much attention. It didn't bother me any until this happened to me last night. And now I'm looking at the symptoms that Murr gave me, and I'm going, wow, I've got four or five of those. Maybe there is something to this. And I do know of people that have absolutely gotten all of the electronics on out of their house, and they say, oh, well, I feel much better. But we're bombarded with it wherever we go, you know, because we've got the cell phone towers and all that stuff. So you really can't totally get away from it, in my mind, can you?
Actually, you can. It's very difficult, but you can. But the problem is that making sure that you yourself, your physical body, is being guarded or shielded from that. One aspect, if you want to do a there are temporary things you can do to help negate that, as it were. A lot of people consider it hooey or whatever the case is. You may or may not have heard of something called earthing or grounding when you're walking out on the.
No, I've tried that, and to me, there's nothing to it. But you know, there are other people that swear by it. But it didn't do anything for me. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Then there's other aspects of which can be applied that you actually wear on your person. It helps to also work with that because, it's obvious that the so-called powers that be know that you are an electromagnetic generating body, is what you're. Is. And so they know what frequencies are going to disrupt that frequency flow, for that matter. So they're going to shoot you with that. It's just a matter of how to buffer that so you do not have a disruption in your own field, thus causing the physical discomfort or impairment that occurs as a result, whether it be subtle or whether it be absolutely paralyzing.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is something, I'm going to make a note to take a deeper look at. I've got to let you go here. I appreciate your input. I'm going to write that down. I've got other callers online I've got to go to, Francis, but thank you for the input. I appreciate that.
Have a great one.
Okay, thank you, hon. Okay, John in Austin, you're second up. Let's go to John in Tennessee. John, you're on with Michael. Go ahead. What's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, Mike. You kind of led off with that Cloud Act business, and you know what? I think I figured it out. The social media stuff, the Twitter, the Facebook, you know, that was a tar baby from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And I think what it's all about is just, remember the outcome-based education business? You're going to be a firefighter, you're going to be a garbage collector, you're going to be a this, that.
Right.
I think all the data collection is about people's views on things. You know, you have a false flag like Parkland, and you have all the Second Amendment debate, and everybody and their mother's got an opinion about it, and they're putting it out on social media. And I think basically they're just gonna create classes of people. So when you go to a job interview, the guy interviewing you has already made up his mind whether or not you're gonna be hired. He's just doing another interview for the government, but he already knows what you think about the Second Amendment. He already knows that you went out and bought a Glock 40 after mm-hmm. the Parkland shooting. He already knows all that stuff. And
well,
I think that's what it's about. And the scary thing for me is my son, my junior in high school, was put into a gun control debate, and he was videotaped, and he had the pro-Second Amendment position, and he wiped the floor with his opponent, and he knows his teacher is a total leftard that absolutely hated every word that came out of his mouth. I wonder if that's going to follow him now. It's documented that obviously his dad has instilled some values in him, and he can hold his own in the gun control debate. Knows his Second Amendment, knows about Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, etc. I think that's what this whole thing is just to create a class of people that people can be labeled with, and then they can decide whether or not somebody can move into a community or whether or not somebody can get a job.
Well, let me interject here. Okay, first of all, you're dead right that Facebook itself was hijacked, if you will. Michael McKibben was the original inventor of social media. His patent was hijacked 17 years ago. He took it to court all the way up to the Supreme Court won't hear the case. But these SES judges ruled against him, and he proved his case. Okay, but they've weaponized these the CIA and the SES, all these underlings, these people that are making all these massive amounts of money, and have weaponized it against us. And it's gotten to the place now, even 5 years ago when I would put out a resume before I retired, you know, people don't even go with a face-to-face interview anymore. They didn't then, and it's probably even less so now. They hire you based upon your resume and maybe a Skype or a telephone conversation. You don't even have to go there. I was hired for Jacuzzi for training back in 2014, I think. Okay, I never had to go there. They hired me for training. I never set foot in the office until I was already hired. So, yeah, it's getting to that place. Anyway, anything else you want to throw into the mix? I haven't disagreed with anything you've said, John.
That's like I said, and now they're doing the algorithms and all this stuff, on Twitter. They'll just label somebody an anti-Semite because they said something on Twitter. And these millennials or anybody else will find out, a decade from now, they'll find out that the crap you said when you were 17 years old was documented, and they already know who you are. Or they already know what your quote-unquote values are.
Look what they did to Donald Trump during the campaign when they kept after him about David Duke. Do you disavow David Duke? And Trump may have met David Duke at some point in his life, but didn't even know who the guy was, really. You know, so this is what they do. They take this data, they store it, and if something comes up where you get on their radar for any reason, they're going to go back and they're going to look at all that data to see what they can do to discriminate or to destroy you, you know. So, you know, that's the modus operandi. Anyway, I appreciate your input.
No, we've been ahead of this for 20 years, and we know they have dirt on everybody. So you wouldn't be in politics
sure.
if they didn't have something on you already. They already know your beliefs. All right, thanks, Mike.
You bet, John. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Let's go to John in Austin. Scottish John, how are you doing today? Scottish John.
Hello. Can you?
Yes,
I'm through now.
Yes, you're through now. You're through now. Go ahead.
All right.
I'm just toying with you, man. I love your accent. You know that. Go ahead.
All right.
Give me something to laugh about.
You and I appear to...
Go ahead.
God. Anyway, you're just describing a couple of the things that I'm suffering from at the moment as well. This shortness of breath and very high blood pressure.
Well, you know, on the blood pressure thing, I think mine's a little high, but I actually ordered some Cardivite last week. And yes, folks, I paid for it. They don't give it to me, okay? And I've been on it now for about a week, and it seems to make a difference. You know, I would recommend it, really. I mean, they say take it for a while, but I've noticed a difference in it just over the past couple days. You know, I've been taking it, as I said, now for about a week. But actually, it's pretty good stuff. You know, go ahead.
I've actually been thinking about ordering some of that Extendivite for a while. But just to tell you the story of my thing here, Michael, it was almost 3 years ago. I was I'd just retired, actually, and I was doing a wee AARP gig at the local community center across the road there. You know, it was really convenient. And I just noticed walking home from work one day, there's a slight hill. It's only about 100 yards from my house to the community center. And I'm gasping for breath. And after a couple of weeks of this, I finally took myself over to the emergency room at a local hospital. And they did some tests on me. And they told me I had this thing called walking pneumonia.
I heard that as well. Go ahead.
Walking pneumonia.
Did they put you on a G-Pack?
What's a G-Pack?
G-Pack is a prescription of some kind of pills that they prescribe for that. Go ahead.
Do you know what? I can't remember if they actually did give me anything. They just sent me home. They told me you've got this walking pneumonia. And I had to go back a couple of weeks later because I felt it was getting worse. And this time they kept me in overnight and did a bunch of tests on me. You know, they put you in that big tube where you've got to lie still for 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Some other thing. Just stick all these electrodes all over you. And, they said, you've got walking pneumonia. Okay, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, they sent me to another place in town, a cardiac hospital down south. That was another, by the way, the cost for the visit over here was $10,500. The cost to go to the second place was another $4,500, and they wanted me to go to a third place, which luckily for me didn't accept my insurance. But the thing was left.
Luckily for you, right? You asked yourself, "What are you going to do about it?" They don't care what you do about it. All they care about is what they're going to do about it. They did it to the tune of about $15,000. We got to take a break. Hold on, John. I'll pick you up on the other side. Okay. Be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Once upon a time, you threw the bumps of time when you were in your prime, didn't you? You see, John, what are you going to do about it? They don't care what you do about it because they know what they're going to do about it, and that is they're going to give you a financial colonoscopy with a jackhammer. That's what they're going to do about it, which happened to you. Not you, but your insurance company. Okay, same thing happened to me. I didn't have insurance back then. you know, I went to a urgent care, shortness of breath, right? At the time, I didn't know I had walking pneumonia, but I was diagnosed with post-nasal drip. And the funny thing about it is I didn't even have a runny nose, so that cost me $200. And then when I was almost falling over, a friend of mine's house, she took me to the emergency room, which cost me $4,000 for 2 hours in there. They ran every test known to mankind on me, and the intern doctor, very pretty lady, walks in, looks at a chart, in there for 2 minutes, and I get a bill for $750. That's the way they work, John. Didn't you know that? We live in America. Go ahead.
You know what? I've just remembered when I was sitting in that place over there that time on that second visit, they brought in a guy who was obviously tripping on LSD, and I lay there and he was in the room across the corridor, man. I listened to him for 2 hours having the most amazing conversation with I don't know who, but I'll never forget it. Anywho, there's, you know, I'm trying to fathom out what has caused this condition that I'm in, because if there's anything, I rarely get sick, but I've never been sick in my life, really. You know, I've had a cold a time or two, but nothing serious. So when something goes wrong with me, I want to know what the hell is causing it. Now, there's a duplex next door to me, and they've got, the way it's configured, they have the two smart meters on the wall, which is about 20 feet from my bedroom window. Now, I had my smart meter removed, and we put a Faraday cage up to protect me from those smart meters. And another thing that's part of this bloody conundrum is I get this mysterious-looking fluff gathers on my bedroom windowsill, just on the two windows at the side of the house, nothing on the front windows. And this fluff just gathers from where? I don't know. There's no apparent source of it coming in from outside. And I finally got the management to take they got in one of these bug control people. He came in 2 weeks ago now and took it away, and I still haven't heard the result of any tests they may have done. But it's just very mysterious. Where the hell does this weird stuff come from?
I would think that it probably has something to do with the electronic waves and maybe some magnetism are in it that causes it to settle in a specific part in your house. That would be my synopsis, and I could be wrong. I don't know. Yeah. You know, but I mean, you know, look, you say, well, you know, when I get something wrong with you, I want to go to the doctor and find out, or I want to find out what's wrong. Well, is the doctor the place to go? I mean, you know, go ahead.
It's funny. The local center around here have a newsletter every day, and today they had some students from UT, and if you wanted to go around and have your blood pressure checked and your cholesterol and stuff like that, I'll go around and have a look. I'll maybe get some good information and have a word with them and say, look, I'm looking for a good GP because I've never had a good doctor here, and I'd like to get that situation resolved. Blood pressure is off the charts, man.
Okay. All right. Well, look, and thanks for the input. I got to go to the top of the hour break. Thanks for the call, I got to let you go, man.
Here.
All right, have a good day. I'll be back at the top of the hour, folks. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick around. Next hour coming up, whether we like it or not.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.